The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Taoiseach is expected to announce an extension of Level 5 restrictions until at least April 5th later today as part of the updated Living with COVID plan. Meanwhile, in the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson suggested that the country could be completely free of all legal restrictions by as early as the 21st of June. Here he is making the announcement in the House of Commons.
Step one will happen from the 8th of March. 2 weeks from today, pupils and students in all schools and further education settings can safely return to face-to-face teaching, supported by twice-weekly testing of secondary school and college pupils. From the 8th of March, people will also be able to meet one person from outside their household for outdoor recreation, such as a coffee on a bench or a picnic in a park. Step two, no earlier than the 12th of April, non-essential retail will reopen, as will personal care, including hairdressers, I'm glad to say, and nail salons. Indoor leisure facilities such as gyms will reopen. We will begin to reopen our pubs and restaurants outdoors. There will be no curfew, and the Scotch egg debate will be over because there will be no requirement for alcohol to be accompanied by a substantial meal. Step three will begin no earlier than the 17th of May. Most restrictions on meetings outdoors will be lifted, subject to a limit of 30. You will be able to see your friends and family indoors, subject to the Rule 6 or the meeting of two households. We will also reopen pubs and restaurants indoors, along with cinemas, hotels, hostels and B&Bs, theatres and concert halls will reopen their doors. And the turnstiles of our sports stadia will once again rotate, subject in all cases to capacity limits. There will be many people who will be worried that we are being too ambitious and that it is arrogant to impose any kind of plan upon a virus. And I agree that we must always be humble in the face of nature and we must be cautious. But I really also believe that the vaccination programme has dramatically changed the odds in our favour.
Now, to talk more about this, we're joined by the Financial Times' George Parker. George, good morning. And also on the line is former Conservative MP and Minister Edwina Curry. Edwina, good morning and welcome. First of all, the practicalities of this, George. He has been accused already of going with dates rather than data, but it's important to stress that he keeps on saying in those remarks, no earlier than. In other words, implicit in that is it could be later.
Yes, I mean, he was being congratulated unusually for being excessively cautious by Keir Starmer, the Labour leader in the House of Commons, and Boris Johnson, I think, has learned some of his lessons from the last year, being over bullish about lifting of lockdown. So this is a cautious route map. He's allowing 5 weeks between each step to assess the data to make sure there's been no resurgence of the virus in the meantime, and it's going to be unrolled from the 8th of March when schools will reopen right through to Midsummer's Day, June the 21st, when he hopes to be able to lift all remaining legal restrictions, so-called Freedom Day. But it's going to be a long, hard process all the way through the spring.
What is the reaction, besides Keir Starmer and the Labour Party, I think, who said, look, if you do the right thing, you'll have our support. What about from his own backbenchers, people who are pushing for a more speedy opening?
Yes, not for the first time. The main opposition to Boris Johnson's COVID policies come from his own side, really. So the Labour Party, yes, are backing him for taking this cautious approach. But a number of Tory MPs are saying, well, why are we going so slowly? You've got you've got arguably the best vaccination rollout policy in the whole of Europe. By the middle of April, everyone aged over 50 in this country should have been off their first jab. That accounts for 98% of people who die from this disease. Therefore, what are we waiting for? Set against that was a warning to Boris Johnson from some of his scientific modellers that if he did start to open everything up before Easter, you could see another 90,000 deaths. So he's weighed up all the options, really, and I think he's taken the view that slow, measured response is the way forward. And he's taken some criticism, as I said, from Tory MPs, also from some newspapers like The Sun and The Daily Mail, which would like him to go much further. But I think generally, the business community, most MPs, think he's struck just about the right balance.
Where does this caution come from? It hasn't characterised him in the past.
No, it hasn't. And I think, you know, he's obviously been burned a few times in the past of sort of promising that things would be over by Christmas or over by the summer, and that hasn't turned out to be the case. And he wants this to be an irreversible roadmap. And that echoes a lot of what business is saying, that they really can't, you know, envisage a fourth lockdown. Lots of companies saying they wouldn't be able to survive another lockdown. So I think Boris Johnson thinks that having got the country into this sort of mindset of being locked down, that actually the best thing to do is to ease this all the way through the spring into a full reopening in the summer. I think he also just sees this, you know, it chimes also with what he's being told by his scientific advisors. I think he'd be exposed politically if he opened things up more quickly than the scientific advisors were recommending, and then that became public. So he's having to juggle a lot of political and business and socioeconomic issues. And as I said, unusually, there's a sort of fair amount of consensus in the country about what he's proposing.
Yeah. And the fact that those few words, no earlier than, three words, have been missed by a lot of people, the fact that it might not be Freedom Day on June 21st, we may not have the final and semi-final of the European Championships, things could go wrong. He did advert in his full remarks, he did undoubtedly advert to the fact that, you know, there will be setbacks. There will be people who will be infected. There will be people who will be hospitalised. There will be people who will die. That this is not over.
Yes, he said it's impossible to think of a world that would be without COVID. It's going to become an endemic disease like the flu. And yes, many more people will die. The death toll in the UK now is 120,000. I think, you know, the scientific modellers think it's likely, even on the best case scenario, to rise by another 30,000. To about 150,000. So we're not out of the woods by any means. And as you say, all these dates are no earlier than dates. On the other hand, you know, we know that the virus doesn't spread as easily in warmer months when people tend to be outside. The case rates are dropping like a stone at the moment. And I think in the end, the pressure will be on Boris Johnson to move more quickly as the process runs out, rather than missing some of these dates. I think the gap between April the 12th, which is when pubs will start to reopen for outdoor service, people sitting in beer gardens, and May the 17th, which is the next stage when you'll be able to go into a pub or into a hotel or a restaurant, I think that will start to feel quite a long time, 5 weeks in the spring when the weather's improving, when case numbers, we think, if the vaccine program continues to work, will be falling even more sharply. I think then Boris Johnson will start to feel pressure a bit to move a bit more quickly. But for now, at least, yes, he's unusually basking in some reasonably positive headlines this morning.
And one of the elements of this reopening for secondary schools will be lateral testing in the schools, lateral flow testing, the so-called antigen test. Has there been any reaction, positive or otherwise, to those proposals?
I think people think that's a wise move generally. I think there are some concerns, though, among teachers and the teaching unions that this is going to be a logistical nightmare. So unlike the situation in Northern Ireland, for example, in England, all school children are meant to be going back to school on the same day, on March the 8th. And I think there's a concern about whether they'll be able to get through all these tests. It's a massive logistical operation. I think the idea is that kids are meant to be tested twice a week. So it's going to be a big challenge for teachers. On the other hand, Boris Johnson's a big enthusiast for these lateral flow tests, and I think the whole country agrees that the priority has got to be getting kids back into schools, because they've lost a very precious year of their life in education.
We've talked about lateral flow testing on this programme many, many times, and our government still has not, it seems, more than a small pilot programme somewhere, embraced lateral flow testing. But the big deal about lateral flow testing is that it reveals when people are infectious. In other words, if you're tested and you come up positive, you go home. And if you're not positive, then you stay in school, whether you're a teacher or a student. And that would be the advantage of it. By the way, George, and I'll ask Edwina this same question. Have you been vaccinated?
Well, funny enough, I've just turned 55, Pat, so I've moved up a bit closer to the front of the queue. But no, I haven't yet. At the moment, they're moving to people aged between 65 and 70, and gradually moving down the age scales, but according to the government's own timetable, by sometime before April, I should have a needle in my arm.
And finally, George, before I let you go, the other story that's bubbling under is the suggestion that the Prime Minister's fiance is actually running the country. We'll put that in quotation marks, but someone has made that particular suggestion that number 10 functions far more smoothly with her doing the business rather than Boris Johnson himself. What do you make of that?
Well, of course, that is vigorously denied by number 10. They say that Carrie Symons is a career woman pursuing her own job for an environmental charity. But the truth of the matter is that she has been very instrumental in the changes we've seen in Boris Johnson's inner circle in the last few months. Most notably, the sort of purging of the Dominic Cummings and his crew in Downing Street. I mean, these are people who were sort of ideologues, iconoclastic type, anti-establishment people, who Boris Johnson was very loyal to because they run the Vote Leave campaign, of course. But Carrie Symons thought that they were leading to a chaotic, they were running a chaotic administration. And she and some other senior people in Downing Street persuaded Boris Johnson to get rid of Dominic Cummings and Lee Kane, who was the director of communications, one of his sidekicks. And then last week we saw one of the last vestiges of the Cummings regime, also a guy called Oliver Lewis, being ousted. So, yes, I mean, people who are being booted out of Downing Street are people who've crossed Carrie Symons. People who are being moved in are people she's very close to and good friends with. So you can join up the dots, but of course Downing Street will say it's all entirely coincidental.
Well, I say credit where credit is due. If she improves the operation by stealth or otherwise, so be it. George, thank you very much for joining us. George Parker of the Financial Times. Edwina Curry has been listening to that conversation. Edwina, good morning.
Good morning. I have been jabbed 3 weeks today. I was jabbed.
And when will you have the second jab? Are you on a nine more weeks
mind.
To go?
I don't mind. We don't know. But I know that at 3 weeks, I am protected. So I can say to the virus, come on, do your worst. Do you know what the main side effect is, Pat?
Tell me.
The main side effect is smugness.
Well, I would think a lowering of anxiety would be a symptom I would expect to enjoy or endure when my time for vaccination comes. But, I mean, did you feel a great sense of relief when you got that jab in the arm?
I think we all felt euphoric. I mean, we were whizzing in and out of our local GP surgery at a rate of knots. They did 250 people in 3 hours, the nurse was telling me. And it was amazing. It was quietly well organised, but you could feel it. It was like being told you had an extra Christmas. Really wonderful feeling. And especially, you know, with respect to other countries, this is the one that we got was the Oxford one. We got the British vaccine and I went to Oxford. I can't tell you how wonderful that felt, honestly.
Yeah. Now obviously there were reservations about that, which probably are absolutely unfounded.
Absolute nonsense.
Well, you know why. I mean, not to
politics.
To argue about the science of it. It basically, they didn't actually do a lot of testing on the over 65s. So there was no reason to expect it not to work, but the data simply wasn't there. The data now is there because so many people have got it. And maybe those who had reservations about it should change their minds.
Well, I don't think anybody in this country ever had any problems with it. The 75 to 79-year-old group, I think it's over 99%. Have been vaccinated. We're over 90 in most of the older age groups. We took the view that, we would rather take the risk of having a vaccine than take the risk of having the virus, because the virus would kill us in large numbers. And we all know people, we've all had friends and relatives and neighbours who have been very, very badly affected by this. So, you know, Macron is wrong and Ursula von der Leyen is wrong. And it's about time that they owned up and said, there's a problem in Germany, for example, where people have been told that they're going to have nasty side effects. So, of course, they do have nasty side effects. You know, if you tell people that something's going to hurt, it will hurt. Oh, don't start me, Pat. You know what I'm like. This is great science, and it should be welcomed.
I don't regard a sore arm or perhaps a dose of what might be called mild flu for 24 hours. I don't regard that as a significant side effect.
We were all comparing notes in the small town, the small village where I live. We all compared notes. We had a slightly sore arm in exactly the same way that you would have with a flu jab, which tells you it's working, it's taking, and absolutely nothing. A little bit of tiredness the day after that. Oh, that's fine. That's a price worth paying, believe me.
I'm surprised that you needed to get vaccinated, Edwina, because, you know, knowing you as I do over the years, I thought the virus wouldn't dare infect you.
Thank you so much. Believe me, my system works the same as anyone's. What's really good about yesterday's announcements, though, is we can now see and businesses can plan for when we can start to do things. So, for example, I run a business club and we meet in a golf club. And we can't get together just yet, but the golf club will be able to reopen fairly soon for golf, which is great. And then later on in the summer, I've got time to organise. I can get the speakers and so on and get the notices out. That's all good. We have a little share club, which is only about five or six of us. We may be able to get together a bit sooner than that. If the weather's nice, we'll meet in the grounds of the local pub. There are all sorts of aspects to normality. And I think best of all is the kids are going back to school, all of them in Britain, well, in England, on March the 8th. That's not just good for the kids, Pat. That's good for their parents who are driven to their wits' end working from home and trying to home school. That'll
now,
be
do
such
you
a
see,
sigh of relief in the country.
Yeah. Edwina, do you see a certain political risk in all of this that if those dates, which are only suggestive dates, no earlier than, as I pointed out when I was talking to George, that if those targets are not hit, and I was listening to a scientist this morning saying, look, there will be a number of cohorts of people, those who are vaccinated and for whom it's incredibly effective, so they will resist any infection by the coronavirus. Then there'll be those for whom, for whatever reason, maybe not a robust immune system, they will be vaccinated, but they will not be completely immune. Then there'll be those who can't take a vaccine for health reasons and those who won't take a vaccine. So as much as a third of the country might be in a situation where they're not vaccinated. So, you know, if everyone who is vaccinated, maybe let's say they're safe, but one third could still be vulnerable. So what do you do?
Well, I think 88% of deaths happened in the older age groups in England, and they've all been done. They've all just said, here's my arm, just do it for me. And you're saying, you know, up to a certain percentage. I think what the cabinet, the government has worked out is we're not going to eradicate this, apart from anything else, in other countries. It's in Ireland, it's in France, it's probably going to be in France and Germany for a long time because of their attitudes to vaccination. And it's going to be around for a while. And we have been told we will need booster jabs in the autumn, which we're fine with. And the science is improving all the time on this, as we know. We're in a very different place.
I found that very interesting that already, and this shows a level of planning in the NHS and among the scientific body and SAGE, who advise the government, that they are anticipating a booster in addition to, you know, your first two shots, but a booster that might be more tailor-made to a variant.
Yeah, well, and that looks as if it's going to be the case in the autumn for a while. I mean, I think that's good. If that means that we're keeping on top of, you know, there are going to be variants from time to time until the thing dies down and no longer has enough sea in which to swim to replicate and all that kind of stuff. We are going to be in this situation for a while and there will be more deaths. But what hopefully we can also get on top of with our wonderful NHS is reducing deaths from cancer, because, you know, they're affected by not having early treatment. Reducing deaths from heart disease and strokes. People have been dying at home, choosing to die at home because they didn't want to go to hospital where they were fearful of getting infected. So there's a lot of other issues. In the end, this will be, it'll be still around, but it'll be under control, Pat, and England will be alive and kicking and going to the pub again. Aren't you envious?
I certainly am. And what I would say finally, Edwina, is what Boris Johnson did yesterday is to give everyone an injection of hope.
Well, yes. I mean, he desperately needs to go to the hairdresser. He's quite right in the clip that you played there. And he was slightly less bouncy than usual. But he'd spent 3 hours in the House of Commons, courteously answering question after question after question. I mean, he has matured into this job. I think we're all a bit surprised and rather relieved. He's no longer the sort of bouncy buffoon that he was before. Yeah. I think have really great leadership here.
He can't resist a joke. And as he said himself, you know, about the hairdressers, and he got a bit of a laugh. I never thought he did go to hairdressers, to be quite honest.
Well, I will. I can't tell you. I mean, you know, lockdown hairdos, I look like a haystack. It's awful. And I can't wait to get my hair cut and tinted and all the rest of it again.
You're going to have your population effectively vaccinated by midsummer. Any chance of a dig out? Can you spare a bit of vaccine for us over here?
Well, you know, I've actually said before that if we need to, and not just being kind, but in practical terms, it's important that Ireland is vaccinated as well because of the easy crossover. And if you do need help, just say so. And, you know, Hungary's gone to the Russians. I'd much rather you come to us.
On that note, a very positive note, Edwina Curry, thank you very much for joining us.